Hey, man.
So we were talking about Slab City.
Hey, man.
I know. I was just jumping into it. I know what this one's about.
Well, hey, man.
Okay, what?
Have you ever heard of Salt and Sea?
Salt in the Sea?
The Salt and Sea.
Salton?
The Salt and Sea.
Sultan.
Salt and Sea.
I've heard that there's salt in the sea.
No, the Salt and Sea.
The salt. Are you saying S-A-L-T?
O-N.
Oh, Salt and
Sea. Capital letter C. No. Like an ocean, like a sea. Salt and Sea. The Salt and Sea.
Salt and Sea. Okay. Salt and Sea.
Yeah.
There's a body of water.
Yeah, and it's a large, increasingly saline lake in the desert basin that we talked about called the Salton Trough.
Okay.
In our last episode. So in our last episode, we talked a lot about Slab City, which is a city on the shore of the Salton Sea in this region.
Oh, okay.
And the Salton Sea is a massive...
Can you swim in it?
Okay.
Probably shouldn't. Oh, we'll get there. Okay. That sounded like the Chiefs chant.
He just dumped his water bottle on his head.
I'm paying $5,000 rent and smelling.
And then everybody back home is like, oh! They loaded the real nuke into this plane, and it happened pretty regularly where they didn't just miss their target, they missed the sea.
Straight up, that's made up.
Things I learned last night. Killing it.
So this is a massive body of water.
Okay.
It is about 40 feet deep. It's about 33 miles long, 13 miles wide.
Oh, geez.
Covers a surface area of 343 square miles.
Oh.
It is like five times the size of Lake of the Ozarks. If you stand on one end of it, and for the majority of the lake, you can't see the other side. It is a massive, massive body of water right in the middle of this desert in Southern California, about 50 miles from Mexico, about 100 miles from, or 100 miles east of San Diego,
can
and about 150
on
southeast of LA. Yes, you can boat on it.
Okay.
There is pretty good boating on the lake. What's interesting about this lake? Well, what isn't interesting about this lake is a better question. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
So this started. This was a recommendation from someone on our Discord server by the name of Christian Hobbit.
Okay.
That's his birth name. Christian,
first
name Christian, last name Hobbit.
Yeah, that's on our Discord, which is available to Patreon supporters.
Yes, which if you text Tillin to 66866, you can get access to that as well as so much more great things.
Yes.
But this was a recommendation from him to cover Slab City or Salton Sea. And I looked into Slab City and I thought it was interesting and would make a good episode. So we did an episode on it. That was our last episode. Check it out. But when I dove into the Salton Sea, my mind was blown.
Okay.
And as I peeled back the layers of this onion, of this metaphorical body of water onion, liquid onion, if you will, it just completely...
There's actually, that's a seasoning that they sell at the store. It's just onion. Liquid onion.
It's liquefied onion. It's the consistency of Tabasco sauce.
It's like lime juice. You know? For when you're making chili.
Yeah, you just pour some onion in
just
there.
Pour some liquid onion in there. It's also, and this is true, part of a lot of home remedies.
Yep.
You know?
Drink some liquid onion. You feel
weird?
I
heard if you soak your socks in liquid onion overnight.
Oh my gosh. So, as I peeled out the layers.
Alex told us that he's got to get out of here soon, and that's why Tim is talking so fast, just so y'all know.
I'm talking so fast because I'm excited.
Okay.
We've done a lot of episodes today, and I've been waiting for this one.
I've been waiting
for it. It just gets more and more crazy as you go down the storyline.
Yeah.
So we'll start from the top. Scientists believe that this has been here for a long time. Not the Salton Sea, but the area. So this giant trough, I said it was lower than sea level, right? Well, that's because they believe that this was once a part of the Gulf
flood.
Of California.
The flood of Noah. No, I was with you. I got it.
So the Gulf of California, you know where Baja Mexico is?
They thought this was part of the Gulf of California.
Yeah, you know where Baja California is and, you know, Mexico?
Yes.
In between that is the Gulf of California. Well, they thought it went up much further in through where this desert was.
Okay. At one point.
At one point, it dried up and is now a desert, and that's why it's below sea level. So it kind of like sunk, you know, like that thing where like there's a, yeah, you know, a curve. And over the course of the last roughly 1,300 years, they believe that there was four different lakes in this region that had spawned and dried up. So over winter or wetter, more moist climates, there was periods of hundreds of years where it was raining more, yeah. And so it filled with water, and then it dried up, and that water, that lake dried up. At one point, they think in 1700, it got its deepest depth, where it covered up to the mountain ranges on either side. This whole region is surrounded by mountain ranges, like about 8,000 square miles worth. And so they
think that was all filled.
They think it was all filled. And the reason they believe that is from fossil record and also archaeological record of native villages along what they think was the shoreline, that have tons of fish bones in the village. So they think that that was their main source of,
They fished in the sea.
They fished in the sea. Yeah.
Okay.
And they think they, based on,
and now it's only 40 feet deep.
Now it's only 40 feet deep. Well, here's the thing. In the 1900s, there was nothing there. It was completely dry, a completely dry desert bed. In fact, there was a town that in the center of the bed called the Salton Town. And they had a Salton railroad that went through this desert.
Yeah.
In 1900, capitalism hit. you know, when capitalism
hit. You know, when capitalism came down.
Capitalism hit. And somebody somewhere was like, you know, this is a lot of land, and I bet we could farm it, but it's a desert, so we got to make it fertile. And they said, you know what's nearby? The Colorado River. They said, what if we route the Colorado River, reroute it through this desert to make this fertile so we could farm this land? And so they bought up a giant swath of the desert, and they rerouted the Colorado River down into this desert and started building these canals to stretch through the whole desert so that way they could feed all these farms that they were getting ready to plant in.
Yeah.
Well, in 1903, there was a record-breaking precipitation level that flooded the Colorado River, and it burst these canals, and it quickly got out of control to the point where there was an 80-foot waterfall into the Salton Trough, which was this giant valley that was like the 200 feet below sea level. It became such a problem that they worked for 2 years nonstop trying to patch this flooding before they were able to dam up the flow. By that point, it was far too late, and they had filled this water volume with what came up to 6 million acres per foot of water rushed into this valley over the course of 2 years, turning it into a massive lake. Man-made by accident, flooded all the towns in the area.
I was going to say, so all of those railroad, all those towns are in that water.
Yeah, they're underwater, and it was a slow thing. It took 2 years.
Yeah,
so they were still able to say
people got out, but I mean,
they were able to say we probably should go now.
There's probably someone down there though.
Who was like, I'm staying.
There's probably somebody.
Don't fix this.
Hey, nah, I left my family to move out here. Okay, me and my RV are staying, and then now they're at the bottom of that lake.
Yeah. What's significant about this lake is, after they finished, damming up that flow-in spot, they continued their work to send the canals through the region, so they could start some farms, and they finished.
They were like, well, the water's here.
Yeah. So they finished it.
Happy accident.
Yeah.
You know?
So they started all these farms.
Okay.
And what happened was, there was a little bit of a runoff feed. They made a smaller canal that fed the Salton Sea of runoff from the mountains.
Right.
But then they had a series of canals that came from the Colorado River to the canals and then would go to these farms. The farms would siphon out the water to feed their crops. And then their runoff would go back into those canals. And then the runoff would go into the sea. The issue was the sea didn't have an out.
Yeah.
Fill.
So like, it's just runoff water.
It was all runoff water. And what happened was it slowly transformed from a freshwater lake to a saltwater lake or sea.
Got it. Okay.
And so it became a salty body of water pretty quickly. What's wild is that runoff was coming from these, from up in the minerals up in the mountains. So that's salt. And then, like I said before, this used to be part of the ocean. So a lot of the desert floor in this was, the levels underneath it were full of salt from when it was an ocean. So the salt is kind of flowing back through it, and it ended up becoming this, this salt body of water. Well, in 37, I had mentioned in our last episode that there was a military base that was in the region. And so there was actually an Air Force, a Army, and a Navy military base in these regions. And they'd used, they used the Salton Sea for a lot of like water-based training activities.
Okay.
Activities.
Activities.
It's time for our activities.
Hey, everybody. Hey, campers. Hey,
cadets. Today, we have marine exfil exercises. We have landing on an aircraft carrier, and then we got the blob. Pick what you want for a wreck.
We're going to take a vote in the CAF.
Yep.
If you guys want to...
pick what you want to do today.
See your camp counselor to sign up for...
See...
Okay. You're the same energy as these girls that go to the beach. All right. And if I swear, if I see another Instagram caption that's like, see you later, I'm going to go to Instagram and shut it down. I'm going to go to the headquarters. I know not all the posts are this, but some of them are. And that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. So the government took advantage of this. They said this is a saltwater body of water inside our own continental United States. Mm. We can use this to practice. It quickly became a place where they tested bombs, but not like, not here's the
we
thing.
Can use this to practice. Oh, we know what that means. All right. We'll move. Here's That's all right. Yeah.
Here's
no,
the
I
thing
it.
About, here's the thing about testing bombs. This wasn't where they tested bombs that they like were blowing up. This is where they tested like dropping bombs. Like they were like, we need to practice dropping bombs. So these weren't live bombs. They were bomb shells that they filled with concrete or, just left empty, like hollow bombs. And they would fly over this lake.
Hollow bombs was my band in high school. I'm gonna make a graphic tee
hollow bombs,
for my band. Hollow
which is
bombs,
a bunch of bombs. Yeah,
with
that's
a little
funny.
C and like a little bomb cover.
Yeah, hollow bombs. That's
hollow
great.
Hollow bombs.
So they would put these floating targets in the lake, and they would have the bombers fly over and try to do like doing target practice, trying to hit that target. And it was significant because, obviously that's not an easy thing to do, to fly over something and try to hit it with a bomb from altitude. And it happened pretty regularly where they didn't just miss their target. They missed the sea and they hit the land outside the sea, on a couple occasions coming very close to, there was a lot of towns that were in that region and coming very close to like hitting towns, like people in the towns.
You're just chilling.
Yeah.
You know, you're outside just, you know. Whatever you do in the desert. And then you don't hear it. It's not a cartoon, Tim.
Yeah, you do.
Do you hear them?
Yeah, you absolutely do. They like whistle.
You think you hear.
Yeah, they like whistle. They really do. Because it's the way they're, it's their aerodynamics. So
you sound like a cartoon character. It's the aerodynamics. So you're saying, you're just sitting there and then like.
And it doesn't detonate.
Obliterated a whole like. But there's no explosion.
There's no explosion. Yeah, it said that they.
But it hits one house, you know. It
just puts a massive hole in the ground.
You got to start to think like if you moved out there to get away from whatever life you left, right? And then a gigantic. I mean, there's throwing bricks through windows, and then there's concrete bombs. Hey, thanks for being here. We've got merchandise. It's a way to support the show and help us do more stuff, buy new equipment, reach more people. If you like what we're doing and want to help us do that more, please consider doing that. If you want a link to that, all of that's going to be sent to you if you just text Tillin to 66866. I'll tell you, it's not a thing where we're going to text you a lot. We're not. It's not a text service. We're not going to like send you more. It's just a way for you to get a link. It's one text. That's all we're going to send. I promise you.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, That's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
There's multiple reports of these things falling out of the sky in towns, and then quickly bulldozers come to where that is, cleaning up the mess, and then just leave. What was really significant about this era was in World War II, this is where the pilots who dropped the Fat Man and Little Boy bombs were trained.
Yeah.
And so they literally dropped replica nukes in this lake. And it was a significant thing because they learned while they were doing this that they couldn't fly at altitude high enough to escape the blast. So what they had to do is they had to come and drop it and do this crazy U-turn maneuver to escape the blast. So they were practicing that maneuver here at the Salton Sea, dropping these giant concrete bombs. Well, after the war, this was still used for this purpose because the Cold War happened and people were stressed about nukes for a while.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore, but I mean, a little bit. If you think about it, it'll stress you out.
I love that America made the nuclear bombs and then they were like, all right, guys, no one's allowed to do this anymore.
Yeah, everybody stop. Everybody stop.
It's like whenever you're playing tag and you've been it for like 15 minutes and you finally tag someone, you're like, okay, I gotta go home.
I gotta leave. Over. See you guys.
Pause.
I said pause. You can't tag me.
I said pause. You can't tag me.
Stop. It doesn't
count.
We
all gotta stop.
I said pause.
And you're like, that's not the, okay.
That's pretty well what the US did there, actually.
Yeah.
In the Cold War era, they had developed a bomb that was equivalent to 16 megatons of TNT, which you might remember if you listened to our Castle Bravo episode, that Castle Bravo was 15 megatons, which was ridiculously huge and created a lot of problems. This was 16 megatons. And somebody made a mistake with this
home.
One. Somebody, when they were planning for the practice round, they had the concrete version. And for some reason, they stored the real version right next to it. And they They loaded the real nuke into this plane.
That sounds like that is, again, what happens in a TV show. That's straight up. That's made up where like they set something down on the table and then the other person grabs one by accident. And, and like everyone watching at home is like, oh,
no, he got the wrong one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you
exactly
know that
happened.
Like they go into this big warehouse with their fake and they're like, why didn't we just, is there nothing we could have spray painted the word real? It's so easy to identify. It's so easy to go, this is not that one.
This is not. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they didn't do that. And so they loaded the real bomb in this plane to go do its practice run. What was convenient, or maybe convenient isn't the right word. But the good thing is, luckily, this had a double safety. And so the double safety was that before it was dropped, someone had to manually insert like the ignition system into the bomb.
Okay.
Still full of explosives. Like,
right.
Still full of radioactive material and explosives. It just couldn't detonate. But they dropped it into the Salton Sea. And then they noticed. They said, that was the real bomb.
How do they notice, though? They went back and they were like, oh shoot.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how they noticed, but they noticed. So a massive
Captain,
search.
On the real one, I'm embarrassed to say this. I spray painted a little heart with my first initial and my crush's first initial on it. And I'm just saying that.
This doesn't have the heart. I like to think that they took it to the Nevada test range and they didn't go off, and they were like,
no, and then it one was, guy's like, but it was empty. It fell apart.
It fell apart. And then the other guy was like, Salton.
They watched it and they were like, okay. And they had all the big wigs around. They were like, here's our new bot. You're going to love
it. You guys are going to love this one.
You remember Castle Bravo?
Whoa.
Way big. Get ready to see your bones. All right, guys. Make sure you take a glance.
Close those eyes.
Oh, man. Okay, here we go.
You watching? You ready? Don't look away. Don't look away. Put your phone away.
All right, guys.
I swear it's going to go off. Just give it a second.
Just any moment. Just somebody hand me a phone, please.
I need to make a phone call.
Germany can never know about this.
Don't tell Germany. Don't tell Russia. A massive search. So
do they go get it?
A massive search went underway to find this bomb.
It's only 40 feet deep. That's the whole thing.
A massive search. Here's the thing. We have declassified documents detailing the search. We have no declassified documents saying they ever found it.
Oh my gosh.
They won't say, but it's pretty clear that there is a live nuclear bomb at the bottom of the sea. Well, not necessarily live. The safety's not in it. But I mean, it's a nuclear bomb just sitting at the bottom of the sea. And this was a 16 megaton bomb. So if it were to accidentally detonate, I mean, it probably would just do a ton of damage in this area. But also, it's only 100 miles outside of LA and San Diego. And it's not far from Vegas or Phoenix. So the fallout would greatly affect all of those major cities. Greatly. So,
and those are the only things that matter. Who cares about anybody who lives in between? But man, if it got to LA, that's a problem. You know, so many people live out in the desert, but they take the risk. Okay. It would greatly impact Vegas. I'll tell you who would notice?
Who would notice?
Tunneltown. All right. They would know.
They wouldn't notice. They would survive. They're underground.
They would
come out and rebuild.
They'd be sitting there. Somebody tell Germany. I think it happened.
I think they did it.
So it's just sitting at the bottom of the sea.
Sitting at the bottom of the sea. And what's significant about this is, remember how I told you there's like just a steady flow of runoff coming into the sea and no way for it to go anywhere else?
Yeah.
Well, a couple things are happening with this. One,
Is water radioactive then?
It's consistently becoming more and more pretty salty. Crazy.
You know, at night, I mean, though, it's just glowing green.
It just glows. Yeah. Yeah. Godzilla comes out every night of the water.
That was a detail you just left out.
No. So the salt content is significantly increasing. So when it first became salty, obviously it was just a couple points of a percent. Today it's at 5.2% saltiness.
Oh, wow.
Which 5.5 is the point where most biologists say nothing can survive in the water. So it's getting very close.
What percentage
to that
is the ocean?
I don't know, like 2 or 3. I don't know. It's really not much.
You just guessed. I hate, you're just like, I don't know, 2 or 3.
I don't know. Let's find out. 3.5.
Okay.
It's close. It's called an educated guess. No big deal.
Wow. Wow. I'll tell you
what. He just dumped his water bottle on his head.
It felt like the only way to respond to that. It felt like the thing that you just said made me so mad that it made me so angry that I had to physically respond.
Dump water on my. Do you need a towel? Or
it'll evaporate. Just do that.
Yeah, that's. Ironically,
anyway,
it's ironic.
Let's cut
that
out and pretend it didn't happen. And I'm just got like
you're
a
just
soggy
a
head.
People are
just like, what is going
what
on?
What happened?
Yeah, I just got a wet head.
So here's the thing. It's ironic you
said
that.
It cut to me. It's dripping down my forehead. It looks like I just got like a sweat pit in the middle. Hey, I just got a sweaty chest.
Just sweat. It's hot. It's summer. It's summer, man. Summer vibes. Okay. So it's ironic you said that, though, because that was the original solution, was when this happened, the engineers were like, it'll dry up. It's the desert. Like the lake, the giant sea that they just created. They're like, oh, it'll dry up. It's
it'll
the
desert. Evaporate.
It didn't. anyways, so it got saltier and saltier and saltier, right? Part of that runoff was the fertilizer from the farms. The unintended consequence of this was that it fertilized the lakes, which birthed giant algae blooms in the lake.
Interesting.
And also, okay, it's just full of fertilizer, which is not good.
Right.
so some people have this theory that the salt and the fertilizer is eating away at the bomb and maybe the other bombs, because there's theories that there's probably more than one time that this happened with how easy it was for them to do this with one nuke. For them to do
what
this once.
Here's the other thing. What if when they went and dropped those bombs in like Japan,
they
dropped just gigantic bricks. Concrete. People are, I mean, like the sirens are going. People are like, oh my gosh. And then it just. No, how anticlimactic is that?
And then everybody back home is like, oh, they're like, check the hearts on the one in the storage. It's like, no. Yeah, that's rough.
I'll tell you, those didn't blow up, but I'm about to.
Okay. So some people theorize that the outer casing of this bomb has been decayed away,
right?
And the radioactive material has been leaking into.
That's what
the
I
lake.
Was thinking. Yeah,
which there's merit to it, because all on the shore, if you take a Geiger counter, there's above average radiation levels. It's not enough exposure for it to hurt you now, but there's another way it can get you, which we'll get to in a second.
Did you think that's what they were picking up whenever they're at the bottom of Salvation Mountain? They were like, this is toxic ground.
Actually, yeah, that might be accurate. I didn't think about that, but could be.
Someone else was like, nuh-uh.
No, it wasn't.
It just depends on who you ask, yeah. Honestly. With the most
government,
things. With most
government
things.
Did that one.
Yeah.
The Navy did the second one. And they're like, no, yeah, it's fine. It's not toxic. No. Nothing toxic here. Everything's safe. Because
the Navy is not the government.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing. In the 50s, while the testing was still happening, somebody, an investor, if you will, because that's what they were, saw an opportunity here in the Salton Sea. They said, hey, look, here's a giant empty piece of land pretty close to Palm Springs that's doing great. All right. And they said, but this one has an ocean, like a literal ocean. You can't see the other side. It's salt water. It's beautiful blue water. It's great to swim in. There's not much of a current. So you can boat in it really easy. And he said, opportunity knocks. So he built a resort and a golf course and a yacht club. And then a couple other guys said, hey, I'm going to do that too. And this sea just got lined with tourist traps.
Oh no.
And it was a desert already too. So the whole shore, this 33 mile long lake, all the shores are already beautiful, pristine beaches, like ready made for tourists. And so it became the tourist destinations of tourist destinations. The 50s and 60s, this is where local Californians went for vacation, because they were like, we're not going to go to the beach here because we live there.
Yeah.
So they went out to the Salton Sea.
I want to go to a different beach.
I want to go to another beach.
I'm tired of this beach.
Yeah. So it became a massive tourist destination. They built a theater, an outdoor theater, an amphitheater, if you will.
That is what they are.
And the Beatles came, Nat King Cole came, like big name artists they were bringing through, and they made this the spot.
Wow.
And it was for years. Even so much so that a few of the investors pulled together and they dumped a ton of fish into this lake. So much fish that it became a world-renowned fishing spot. And the rumor had it that you didn't even need bait. You could cast a baitless hook and catch a fish because it was just flooded.
Because they're
with
magnetic.
Fish.
That's what it was. Yeah, you just throw a hook in there, and those fish are magnetic.
They just stick to your.
It's the radioactive.
You're really gonna pull them apart. It's crazy.
You're like, oh, whoa,
whoa, whoa. And there were so many fish that the fish attracted all these different birds from all around the region, the mountains, and on the other side of the mountains, the sea. And so there's just seagulls and birds. And it also became a world-renowned bird-watching spot. And so now you have tourists trying to find a beach, and then you have fishermen and bird watchers traveling from literally around the world to come to this Salton Sea for one of those three things and to enjoy a fabulous vacation.
Wow. You could do the whole family. You know, dad's into fishing, mom's into bird watching, and kids are into sneaking off and running around in the ocean.
Dropping bombs.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the older brother who's like, I'm going to find this bomb. Did people like dive in this?
Die or dive?
Dive. Like, did they? Did
like
people
scuba
like,
diving?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I imagine if people are swimming in it. That's what I was kind of curious about the whole time was, are people like...
People were swimming in it this whole time. I don't know if anybody was scuba diving, but I would assume like it was a storage strap. If people were scuba diving anywhere else, they probably were scuba diving here, you know?
Yeah.
That's what this place was. It was a tourist trap.
Hey, just popping in again to say, are you tired of advertisements? Are you tired of us not talking about the subject that you clicked the link to listen to? Well, great news for you. Patreon doesn't have any of our advertisements, doesn't have us pitching our merchandise or a Patreon. Obviously, you're already there, but it also doesn't have YouTube ads or anything else. So sign up for Patreon and you'll hear less commercial breaks. Our goal really is to break you with breaks. Thank you. Patreon.com/Jaron Myers, Tillin.com/join.
Well, remember when I said it was getting saltier and saltier and saltier?
Yes.
So starting in the 70s, there began to be these massive die-offs of tourists.
So the percentage you gave, the 5.2% or whatever.
That's today.
That's what I was wondering.
And so when it started, it was obviously like decimal percentages. Right. Over time, it got worse and worse. And so in the 70s, there began being these massive die-off events where massive populations of fish would die and then wash up on shore. And so the shores would be lined with fish. In the 80s, there was a very significant one where an entire species of fish in the lake was killed off by a disease that ravaged them out. And it also killed off a ton of birds who were eating those fish that were diseased. And they would die in the water and they would all wash up on the beach. It was so significant that someone who worked in the area said that they had an incinerator burning carcasses 24 hours a day for 3 weeks to clean up the dead.
Imagine you just
carcasses.
Have the beach for a family trip, yeah. Right? And then just fish after fish
after fish
is just washing up.
Literal piles of carci.
Carci? I hate that. Jeez, look at all these carci.
And so the decline of marine life was catastrophic. These algae blooms got larger and larger because the fertilizer right. just kept feeding them. And so it became this thing where all the marine life was dead. And the salt levels of it started getting so significant that the water itself began to smell like rotten eggs. And the fish were dead. And so you had dead fish and rotten eggs was the smell of this whole sea.
They put that on the pamphlet too.
Dead fish and rotten eggs. Yeah. and then nuclear radiation on top of that.
Right. Possible nuclear
radiation. And in the 80s, the kind of nail in the coffin for it was there was this rerouting of a lot of the water that flowed through those canals to San Diego and Los Angeles because they needed more water.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those farms went out of business because they couldn't feed their farms anymore, which decreased the runoff, which was sustaining the lake at its current level.
So then it went
down. So it started to recede because it was evaporating.
How deep was it then?
I don't know how deep it was then, but I do know that estimates right now say that it's 330 square miles, right? Right now?
Yeah.
343 square miles. It's estimated by 2040 to have lost 75 square miles in water mass because the evaporation.
I guess you kind of hope that in the next 40 years it evaporates all the way. Maybe one of these little bombs will stick out.
Well, here's the problem with that. So all of the sand that was below, so it's back about 14 or 15 feet. It's far enough, maybe even further in some areas, because it's far enough where the yacht clubs and the docks, all of those are completely above ground now. They're not above water at all anymore. So the shoreline is way out there. And here's the problem with this is the water that what used to be the seafloor is heavily contaminated with really high salt levels, radiation, the algae blooms, and the whatever the dead fish were dying of, and then all sorts of other mineral deposits and things like that. Now that it's not underwater, wind comes through and creates these dust storms that are kicking these things up and blowing them across the whole region.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
And spreading all of the contaminants that are within that region.
Everywhere.
So people in the area, pretty much everybody who lives in this entire basin has asthma, and they think it's a direct correlation to that effect. And it's become such an issue that in 2012, there was a big enough dust storm that blew over the mountains and into LA. And in LA, they were people could smell the dead fish and the rotten egg smell in LA in 2012 after that storm. And geologists believe that if this continues to recede, those events will be more and more common, and people in San Diego and LA will experience that pretty regularly with these storms that blow those dust storms over the mountains.
I'm paying $5,000 rent and smelling dead fish and rotten eggs.
Yeah, that's contaminated, like a health risk.
Yeah, who cares about the health risk? It's more about like the
smell. Yeah, yeah, it smells. It's bad. It's stinky.
It's stinky.
It's stinky. So it's becoming a very environmentally big issue. Okay. And there's not a lot of ways to fix the problem. Right. Obviously, it's
even if you do find the bomb and remove it, like it doesn't solve the damage that's been done.
Yeah, it's far beyond repair at this
point. What happened to those resorts? Are those still out there?
They are all like ghost towns. So tourists stopped coming. So there's massive ghost towns. And so these are also squatter type villages.
Because 70s resorts were like ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Those have become like squatter towns as well. So you have Slab City as like one of the more famous ones. But this whole region is like just dotted with these squatter villages of old, what used to be resort towns that are now places where the downtrodden and homeless populations end up just kind of squatting and surviving out there and building crazy, like a lot of them are building these crazy buildings out of like pallet wood and stuff like that. But they're surviving out there. One interesting little sidebar, if you've ever played Grand Theft Auto, five, the desert area, okay. This is the desert side of the map, is the Salton Sea and, the towns that surround it. They have Salvation Mountain in the game. They have, their makeshift Slab City out there. So all of this is in Grand Theft Auto 5. So that's,
which I've never played. It's rated M.
Yeah. If you swim to the bottom of it, there's a nuke. Well, I actually think that if you swim to the bottom of it, there's a UFO. I don't remember, but there's something.
Is that real?
Yeah. Well, no. Is that a drop of water?
Yeah.
Well, no, attend your eye. Ooh, rough. So there's been a lot of proposals on how to solve the problem.
Okay.
Including my personal favorite of just building another lake that's a horseshoe that wraps around the top of the lake that they could use to feed it and then building it out.
What if, hear me out. What if we just, did it again, but around it? It's like a little water hug. Have you seen the neck pillows? What if we just like put a gigantic water neck pillow?
Yeah. So that's how all of these solutions were received as like, that's a really ridiculous idea.
That's dumb.
It's way too expensive. Like hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars to solve this problem.
To do what? Right.
Yeah. To just make this less of an environmental
concern. To push this problem off to later.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. The closest it got to getting solved was they were going to build a series of canals out to the Gulf of California. So this could have an outflow. So that way it wouldn't be just standing water, basically.
Yeah.
And eventually over time, it would all wash away. But that kind of helps solve that problem. And then they could treat the land around it. And they were close to getting that. It was a $350 million proposal. They're close to getting that. But the proposal passed through. It passed and they began construction in 2007, which then the Great Recession. And so it was never finished. So the problem still hasn't been solved. Nobody's actually ever been able to fix it. And there's been multiple attempts since this, but it hasn't been fixed. It's getting saltier and saltier. Fish are dying left and right. It is radioactive, like literally radioactive. And to make matters even worse, this sits right on top of the San Andreas Fault, and it's 200 feet below sea level.
So if the bomb goes off,
Well, here's
what's right on top of that fault.
Well, that is true. I haven't heard anybody say that, but that's true. I don't know if that would be a problem, but probably.
It would probably be a problem.
What's significant is they have like earthquake storms here where it's like just repetitive earthquakes because it's so close to the fault.
Oh, yeah.
So like they have these bouts of earthquakes. They also have, it is so close to the lava shelf that there's parts of it where it's so hot that the earth just turns into these mud volcanoes. They're like these gray mud volcanoes where they just like the mud boils over and just piles up and creates these things that look like Salvation Mountain, like multiple stories tall, just molten mud. Weirdest thing. it's a weird place, man.
So, and the water is 5.2% salt, right?
Yeah.
So everyone there does have the salt life sticker on their car. I tell you, it's super it's
part
serious.
It goes in with it. Yeah, you know. So it's drying up. It's expected by the year 3000 to be gone. They think it's going to completely evaporate, but that won't be the least of the problems.
Jonas Brothers. They've been.
We've been to the year 3000.
Not much has changed except the salt and sea.
But they live underwater, and there's no nukes down here. So they know they didn't mention a nuke in the song. They would have said something
if it was there. There are people campaigning trying to fix this, but even if it dries up, it's still a massive problem because now you have all that radioactive contaminated dust that's going to be blowing around that valley and then into the greater cities across all of California and Arizona and Nevada and New Mexico. It's going to become a pretty major problem if something isn't done about it. But what I love the most about this is that the California Parks Department is attempting to revitalize the perception of the salt and sea. Still smells like rotten eggs.
Still
smells like rotten eggs. Still covered in dead fish.
If you got COVID, and you can't smell.
But then it's great. Here's the thing: if you go to one of their park shelters in the Salton Sea area today, there still will be an attendant there and they will give you a tour that ends with a film. And the film talks about the health benefits about bathing
and
in the Salton
Sea.
And
it's like one of those reels. It's like a... yes.
Yeah, but no, they literally talk about the health benefits of bathing in the Salton Sea and how good it is for your skin, which is anybody with a brain would say, I'm not getting in that water. But they make all this reiteration about your skin will be...
glowing.
Well, thank you.
Your skin's gonna be glowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you tired of being pale? What about the salt bright sea. Green?
What about bright green? Yeah. So,
what was it like where they would rub it on their teeth, right? Because it makes their teeth glow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When they were working with like nuclear weapons.
Oh.
And they would
uranium.
They would put stuff on their teeth.
That's so weird.
I don't remember.
Because it make it like glow in the dark.
Kind of, yeah. It made them seem bright and stuff.
That's crazy. Yeah, I haven't heard of that. That's nuts. Little known trivia: this was actually a contributing factor to the construction of the Hoover Dam because it slowed the flow of water into the Salton Sea because they wanted it to evaporate originally. The Hoover Dam was really built for power and to reroute the Colorado somewhere else, but. This was a contributing factor. They said, hey, this would help with that problem as well. So that's part of why the Hoover Dam was there. But yeah, so the Salton Sea, one of the craziest places ever because, you know, it's a nuclear test site, a tourist trap, and a sea that's literally falling apart. And it's the fifth time this has happened that it's grown and evaporated over the past 1,300 years. This just keeps happening in history. This is just the first time that we did it, and then we made it way worse.
we were like, that's a problem that keeps happening. But
what if we made it a lot worse?
I feel like that's how American government walks into everything. Like, yeah, things are pretty bad here. It would be a shame if something happened.
It'd be a shame if it was way worse than that.
It'd be a shame if something, you know, we just ruined it more.
We could make this worse.
That's kind of how it goes, though. It's like, this is already bad. I mean, we're not hurting it.
We're not. Yeah, we're just making it a little more interesting, you know?
That is interesting.
Yeah, so...
And that's connected to Slab City.
Yeah, it's right next to Slab City. It's all in the same area. This is in the same desert that Burning Man and Coachella happened at. So, I mean, if you ever smell rotten eggs at Burning Man or Coachella. It's the lake.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
yikes.
That's the Salton Sea, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that bomb's not going to explode.
Why not?
Well, I'm just thinking that if it did, like all the stuff is so like worn down and everything.
Yeah.
All it would do is, and you would just hear, you'd hear fiddle. Anyway,
it's a fiddle off.
It's a fiddle off.